Which were open. My mom made sure I was there. Well, one Sunday, Pastor gave an altar call, and I came forward as a young kid. When that was over, I went back and sat down. Almost from the very get-go, I started trying to test God. And I did things that just trying to see if God was going to strike me down. Over and over. And it got worse and worse and worse. It led to everything. Alcohol became the big issue. I can remember coming home almost every night. I lived with my parents. And, you know, God has a way of doing things. The door to our home was right in line with the kitchen table at the end of the other end of the house, and Mom would be sitting at that table, and she'd say to me, "If you don't stop that, you're going to be an alcoholic." Come to find out that my mother prayed me home every night with this old lifestyle. Was a part of the breakup of my first marriage. Basically, I have no relationship with my three kids today. But it was a part of it. It wasn't all of it, but it was a part of it. I'll cut the story a little short by saying that I met this individual who told me about a counselor down in Angola, and he told me about him, and I said, yeah, okay, I'll go. Saw the individual a little while later, and he asked me, he said, "You go see Reggie yet?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you don't go see him soon, and if Reggie doesn't call me and tell me that you've seen him, I will have Reggie call you." And I said, "Yeah, okay." So I would see Reggie. Reggie was a biblical counselor. And the first time I saw Reggie, we talked. And he had a way of pulling everything out. All the garbage that I had stuffed, everything was in there. And he pulled it out and he had me on my knees. I was bawling much worse than I was a few minutes ago. But on my knees in the floor of his office, I gave my life to Jesus. And from that day forward, in 1992, alcoholism was gone. Drugs were gone. Alcohol just happened to be my drug of choice. Everything else that you could be addicted to, I was addicted to, was gone. I praise God today for the fact that Jesus is my Savior and delivered me from everything and has brought me into a right relationship with Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that I don't care what the issue is in your life. I don't care how great, how small you may think it is. If it's something that is keeping you from that relationship with Christ, get on your knees and ask the Lord to deliver you, and He will. Life will not become a bed of roses, but it will get to the point to where you can get through life, to where you can one day live with Jesus in heaven. And that's what I want. Thank you.
Doug, thank you for the courage to tell us your story and what that signifies not only for you and Candace, but the hope that offers for your adult kids and for those that you have in contact with each day. Thank you. This morning I want to invite you to join me on the Romans Road. If you have a Bible, open it to the book of Romans in the New Testament. If you're a guest with us this morning, there ought to be a Bible in each row there. See if you can find one and turn into the New Testament. While they're doing that, I'm going to ask a couple of you to help me here. I've got some handouts. I'd like you to have give one to every person. And I want you to give one to every person. Book of Romans in the first chapter. This morning we're going to talk about the Romans Road as it relates to what I've entitled this series, The Gospel Truth. You've heard people use that phrase before to back up what they're saying. Hey, it's the gospel truth, I tell you. And really that's a reemphasis of truth. Because we hold to the fact that the gospel is in fact true. And the gospel is an outstanding topic. It's something that all of us appreciate, or should at least, because of its significance, what it means for you and I. What I've done this morning is I've given you a 3x5 card with the text that I'd encourage you to carry with you for the next 4 weeks. And if you've not done so, to memorize this verse. We'll look at it this morning. It's Romans 1, 16 and 17. But you'll also notice on the back, your assignment for the next couple of weeks is to pray for and to reach out to someone or several. I'm giving you an assignment. There's some empty seats in church this morning. There's plenty of room for others. And you might be the one that God could use to bring someone to Him, to give that person an opportunity to understand and respond to the gospel. So there's your assignment. I'm going to follow up each week with that, to learn this verse, and then on the other side, to concern yourself with those that you know who perhaps are not close to the Lord, and yet could be, if someone like you were to reach out to them. The orange paper, you'll notice, just restates what I'm going to call the Romans Road, a number of verses from the book of Romans, a neat progression that you and I can follow, in fact, that you could share with someone to help them understand God's plan of salvation, the gospel. Romans 1, verse 16. You've got it in front of you there. Why don't you read that with me? Let's read it off of this card if you've gotten one already, if not, out of the New International Version. Romans 1, verse 16. Are you ready? I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I'm going to take four elements from that verse this morning, actually the first half of that verse, and accent them or highlight them with hopes that you will understand a little better just exactly what the gospel is and what it signifies for you and I and for the world. The Apostle Paul wrote, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you? I don't know if you and I took time to share some personal things about ourselves. I'll bet it wouldn't take long for you to come up with something that you've done in the past that you're ashamed of. Know what I'm talking about? All of us can look back and say, you know what? What was I thinking? That was stupid. I am so embarrassed for what I said or what I did. Shame, which typically relates to guilt, doesn't it? The opposite of that, I would suggest, is pride in an appropriate sense. To be proud of something that you've done or experienced. To look back with confidence and say, wow, was that ever good? Boy, I surprised not only everybody else, but myself included. And Paul said, that's the way I feel about the gospel. I'm not ashamed. Now, when we relate that to God, you will be given opportunity, as will I. You have been given opportunities, as have I, to represent God. And there's an inclination, there's a temptation from time to time to feel, boy, shame seems like a strong word. Embarrassed? Maybe? About your relationship to God. I think the world tends to portray Christians sometimes that way. As brainless, you know, or as bigoted and mean-spirited. And yet the Bible tells us there's a message here from God for you and for me, which we ought not be ashamed. I started reading my Bible personally when I was 17 years of age. I graduated from high school early at 17, and it was that summer that I began to study the Bible. My Bible study for a whole summer was tested when I shipped off to Northern Michigan University, Wildcat Country up in Marquette, and I went to study wildlife biology. What I didn't realize is that most of the wildlife wasn't out in the woods or in the classrooms. It was in my dorm. I'd gone to Northern without knowing a soul, and I remember